Daniel Holdings.
Howdy.
Howdy. Oh, howdy, partner. I didn't see that coming. Daniel Holdings, welcome back to the Edge Television Broadcast.
Thank you. Thank you. Good to be here.
Well, it is good to have you back on the program. And, man, we're tackling a serious subject tonight, man. I mean, everybody is asking the question, are we at midnight? Are we in the tribulation? Are we in the pre-trib? Are we have maybe a tribulation already happened? I don't know. But, man, you've got some information that you've gathered together in this book, Daniel Holdings, The Holdings and Quell Interviews, Midnight Strikes, Judgment Unleashed. Daniel, what caused you to even think about writing this book?
Well, you know, it's a funny thing. I haven't been with you. I've been on your show before, and I think it's been long enough that you forgot. that you forgot me, so you had me back on. If you recall, we talked when I was on last time about one of my very first books. It was 3 Days in the Belly of the Beast. Mm-hmm. And I was writing my second book, As the Darkness Falls. Those books, it's a trilogy, and those books were techno-thrillers based upon end times wild science stuff. And the interesting thing is about those books is many of the things in those books turned out to be prophetic because they ended up coming true. No thanks to me, all because of the Lord. And I was simply a mouthpiece to get the information out that he wanted. So since that time, I've been doing a lot of writing behind the scenes for other people, that kind of thing. And I was talking to Steve Quayle, a mutual friend, probably, I don't know, maybe about a year ago. We were on the phone. I talked to him from time to time. He's been a friend for a long time. And he had just gotten done writing his last book, he says, Jesus, the Premise of the Promise. And so I was talking to him about that. Unfortunately, I have I have his number. I can call, but he'll take my call. So I'm talking to him about Jesus, the Premise of the Promise. And then he begins to tell me all of these things that, because if you recall the story, and I don't, you know, the book's not really about Steve Quayle. He's in the book. We're talking about various things, but it's important for your audience to understand the background of Midnight Strikes as a foundation for this discussion. Excuse me. I'm sure, it's a COVID thing.
Whoa.
I saw it was a creepy thing, actually. I was in a store. I think I was in Lowe's. And it said there was an announcement that came over, please maintain your social distancing and all the other stuff, and to be sure to cough in your elbow. Now, Danny, I don't know about you, but I can't reach that far. the outside of my elbow is pretty far. Anyway, so I was talking to Steve Quayle about the things that the Lord showed him when Jesus actually appeared to him. And he's told me this story several times, and he always tells it the same. Instead, I know he's telling the truth because he's exact it on. Well, the Lord at that time had revealed to him several things about the future. In fact, he gave him a panoramic vision about the future. He actually saw what was going to happen, and a lot of that stuff was crazy. And then the Lord told him, you're going to forget, and I'm paraphrasing, obviously. I don't remember exactly what he said. He said, you're going to forget most of these things, but when the time's right, when it's almost about ready to happen, when it's just about ready to happen, I'm going to help you to remember them. Mm-hmm. And so I'm talking to Steve probably, you know, I don't know, probably now, maybe a year, 14 months ago. And he says, you know, Daniel, I remember this from that vision. And then he starts recounting a couple other things that he remembered. And I said, Steve, how many of these things do you remember? And he said, you know, he told me a bunch of them. He started naming them up. I said, well, you got to write a book. You got to put that in a book. He said, Daniel, I'm not going to write another book. I don't feel led to write a book. You know, I don't want to write another book. So I said, well, let me do this. Let me write the book. I'll talk to you about those things. And then, you know, I'll interview you, and we can have this ongoing discussion. So he agreed to do that. Now, why I say that the book is not about Steve Quayle you had an interesting setup just now. You said, I want to believe, right? So, so this is really important because I try to take things from a logical, scientific even, factual basis, not just a biblical basis, not strictly a religious discussion. It is a factual discussion. And so one of the things that happened as I was conversing with Steve Quayle, I began to do my own research. Steve would say, I saw this. I go, okay, wait a minute. So I would use that as a springboard for other things that, other parts of discussion that I thought were important. And obviously I was in prayer about the thing and I went forward with it in that way. But, what I found was, Daniel, something very, very interesting. The things that are happening on planet Earth right now are very, very similar to the Bible. And you, in order to believe those things, all you simply have to do is to believe the facts on the ground. And so tonight, I hope to go over some of those facts for you and your audience so that you can believe. So, but I'm going to make you a promise. By the end of this show, I'm going to use a very bad word. And I, since you're not, on NBC or ABC or one of the mainstream affiliates, I probably can use the bad word.
Oh, yeah.
Get away with it. So,
I do all the time.
So I'm going to use this bad word by the end of the session, but understand that it's on the basis, when I say it, it is on the basis of all these things that we're talking about. Now, by the way, do I look okay? Because I really need a haircut. There is no hair salons open. There's no barber shops open. If I want something to eat, I got to go through a drive-thru. This is crazy, Daniel.
That is crazy, man. I mean, you're looking good for being holed up, being quarantined. Tonight, man, we're going to set some people free with the truth. And by the way, I want to welcome in our live chat, Waldo Alex and Truth and Treasure, both join us in live chat along with all the others. If you have a question for Daniel, just put it in the live chat or you can put it in the guest question link at the top of the website. So, Daniel, we are fighting an unseen, enemy. I'm going to start it out with this here, and we're going to get to midnight striking and all that. But I have suggested that this virus appears to have a will, that it jumps over people, that it hits people different. You know, remember in the beginning they said it's just hitting the old people, then it started hitting the young people, then it had this person, that person that had no symptoms, underlying symptoms. And but then somebody on a news station said, I got it, and it seemed like it knew what's the worst thing that could happen, how to affect, it seemed to have a knowledge of how to affect me. Now, this is controversial, I understand. But have you contemplated the idea that it is possible that there is something larger behind the virus, not a man, but an entity of some sort as a controlling what this virus does?
An intelligence virus, that's an interesting concept. I can tell you this. As the book, Midnight Strikes, was getting ready to go to print, the whole issue of the coronavirus broke. And some of this you may have already heard. Some of it you may not have. Because it was, I felt at that time that it was so important, so pertinent to the things that I had been talking about, I went to Steve Quayle and I said to him, Steve, what are your sources? And as you know, he has several sources. And so I said, what are your sources saying about this virus? Because I think it is what's going to kick us over into the next step of what the elites or the globalists want to do. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, you know, let me look into it. So he went back and he got some comments from his sources, and I saw them directly. You're pretty accurate when you think this is an intelligence virus, because it's not just a virus, Daniel. Sources, deep black sources behind the scenes, have identified this as, and it's only just come out now, by the way, in mainstream media, but have identified this as a biological weapon that was released at the Wuhan facility, the Wuhan biological lab, accidentally, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the interesting thing about Wuhan and that province, I should say, is one of the most rebellious provinces in the country of China. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you were the totalitarian people or governments, and you don't really care about people in power, and you wanted to silence some dissent, you might want to release a virus amongst the most noisy and the most controversial people out there. So anyway, that's according to those deep black sources, that is exactly what happened. And just last week, there was a high-ranking military general that said the very same thing. Now, that's interesting because we were saying that, well, we said that in January, just before we went to print with the book. Now, in addition to that, the reason why it affects people differently, and that's a very astute observation, but the reason why it affects people differently is because there are like 20 different strains of the coronavirus, which is crazy, okay? Now, let me ask you a question, because there are 20 different strains, but it also mutates 16 or 17 different times by the time it runs out of your system if you live. Okay, so there are all these various different strains, and it mutates all these different times while it's in the host body. Can you really have a vaccine for something like that? Is there a vaccine for that?
No.
No, there's no vaccine. And yet, just yesterday, this is the crazy thing, because, Daniel, I'm going to tell you, I think it's a setup. You put a funny thing on Facebook. I don't always gob it on yourself, but you put a funny thing on your Facebook. You said if this doesn't usher in something like a globalist a globalist tyranny, I want an apology.
Right.
Well, I think you're going to get your wish, because that's exactly what it's doing. One of the things that came out just a couple of days ago is the guy that's in charge, Trump's guy for. He's a surgeon general.
Fauci?
That guy. So he said that everybody should have mandatory vaccinations for the virus. How can you have mandatory vaccinations when you can't even vaccinate against the virus? But there's something else in those vaccinations. They're either going to give it to you or something else. So anyway, we'll get to that in just a second. But to your point, why is it an intelligent virus? Intelligent virus, because it's a bioweapon. It's not just a common cold.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me be sure that I say this. I think that the coronavirus is real, right? I think it is deadly, but I also think it's a setup. So there are a lot of people out there that are just strictly, thinking that it's a power grab by the governments all over the world, and that it's not real. Well, that is true. It is a power grab, but it's a power grab in that they used it in order to grab that power. It's a real thing. And if you don't believe that, there was a report that came out just last week that, now it's interesting in China, right? In China, that everybody has to have a cell phone. It's the way that the government monitors people. Before this, they had something called the social credit system.
Right.
And that was like the first thing in the book that I talked about, or the second thing in the book that I talked about, and how the social credit system was coming here. But everybody in China has to have a cell phone, and specifically for those people that were sick, they had bracelets that were Bluetooth capable so they could keep track of people that actually had the virus. Now, an interesting thing happened. 26 million users, cell phone users, disappeared. Their accounts closed. And a million landline users, gone in a month.
Wow.
Where'd they go?
Hmm.
They died, right? They died, right? So, when people say this isn't real, it's like the flu. No, it's not like the flu, folks. It's a bioweapon.
Mm-hmm.
It is real. It's killing people. If you don't believe that, look up in New York. I saw a video just a few days ago of a guy sitting outside. I shouldn't laugh. A guy sitting outside the Brooklyn Hospital repeating over and over and over again, this is real, people. This is real. Stay in your houses. As they were loading bodies on a refrigerator truck with a forklift. Stacking bodies in a refrigerator. It's real, right? But it's real for a purpose. It is a tool for their end goal, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Now, what's the end goal? Okay, why in the world? People sitting out there, the doubters and the naysayers. That's fine. I get it. I used to be one, right? So why would our own government want to do that? Well, all I can tell you is that by their own words, you will know what they are trying to do and why they are trying to do it. Mm-hmm. Interesting thing, back in 2010, and you might have heard of this, there was a report done by the Rockefeller Institute. You ever heard of the Rockefeller Institute, Daniel?
Yep. Hate him.
Hate him. Well, in 2010,
hated it.
They did a think tank exercise, right? And the exercise was called lockstep. That's interesting. Lockstep. Now, what the exercise proposed was that if there was a pandemic that came about, that they could institute global governance. That's what they wanted. Mm-hmm. Global governance. By their own words, not mine. Right. That's their words. And everything that they said in that scenario is actually happening right now. That people would bend over backwards to do what they needed to do in order to be safe. Now, you know as well as I know the famous Ben Franklin quote that said, if any man should want to give up their liberty mm-hmm. for the sake of safety, he mm-hmm. deserves neither.
He deserves neither, right.
And that is exactly where we're at. Because that is what people are doing. They are giving up their liberties like crazy. We'll talk about mm-hmm. that in just a second.
Yeah.
But along with that, exercise by the Rockefeller Institute, you have something that, let me see if I can find it in my notes here. Just, I think it was last year, the Pentagon, that's our guys, right? The mm-hmm. Pentagon did an exercise, and the exercise was called the NORTHCOM report, where they specifically said that a novel respiratory disease was released in the public. Now, novel simply means new. So, in other words, a different type of respiratory disease was released in the public, and that it would affect the public for 2 years or more, that it would affect global stability, that there would be social disruptions, economic collapse, terrorism, and social aggression. This is what the Pentagon said. Now, why did they do that 3 years ago? Hmm. On top of that, Bill Gates in 2018 made these very strange comments about a novel type of disease that would happen, and we all know the story. He had actually developed a vaccine for it, or trying to develop a vaccine for it before it happened. So I mentioned all of these things because, okay, you can blindside me once, you know, and mm-hmm. get away with it.
Right.
If you blindside me again, it's my fault. If you blindside me three times, I deserve to be blindsided. So the point is that they are telling us exactly what they are wanting to do. Mm-hmm. They mm-hmm. want to institute a global governance system. Now, you look at the effect of the coronavirus around the world. Daniel, I'm almost 60. I have never in my time, and I'm a student of history, I have never seen in history or in real life all of the countries all over the world in lockstep shutting down their own economy, mm-hmm. banning their own people from congregating, and instituting the kind of controls that they are controlling, that they are doing mm-hmm. now. It has never happened. I keep using this word, unprecedented. Mm-hmm. These times are unprecedented. But I will suggest to you that is exactly what has happened.
Daniel, let me ask you something here real quick. Did you are you in connection with the movie called Greenland?
Oh, I just saw the trailer today.
Okay.
That is crazy.
Mm-hmm. And that movie has to do with the premise of a meteor?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you something. See if we can connect dots this way, because I have no problem throwing ridiculous conspiracy theories out there. I like to do it. It's fun, and I don't have whatever. This is the internet, man. I got a cowboy hat. I can say whatever the hell I want to say. But what if the world actually knows there is a meteor coming here that's going to wreck devastation on planet Earth, what better way to get everybody to shelter in place than this a fake pandemic? What do you think about that?
I think that is a very astute observation. I think that's worth the last chapter, Midnight Strikes, because I actually addressed that issue. However, this particular movie for people in the audience that don't understand what this movie was, it is the trailer for the movie stars Gerard Butler, and it just came out just last week or week before. It was supposed to hit the theaters in the summertime, and big blockbuster movie. They yanked it all the trails. They scrubbed the internet. There's only one place that you can actually see the trailer now. It's on a German website. I actually sent the trailer to, or the page to, Sequel, and you can go to sequel.com and find it and watch the trailer. But the premise of the trailer is that coming toward the Earth, broke apart, and started destroying the Earth with a very meteor. Now, interestingly enough, Daniel, at the same time, we do, in fact, right now, have a comet headed our way. The name of the comet fails me. I want to say it's like Alex or something strange like that. But anyway, the comet, the cone of the comet, or at least the percussive atmosphere of the comet, is bigger than the size of Jupiter. I mean, it is huge. Well, just yesterday it came out that it was breaking up, and they were concerned that we would actually get hit by some of the debris. Now, today, they pull the trailer to this blockbuster movie that they've spent millions of dollars on. But I don't know. Go figure. Is that it? Now, the Bible does talk about, when it talks about how a third of the Earth is actually scorched by a meteor, something that impacts the Earth. Well, I actually talk about that. We actually talk about that in Midnight Strikes toward the end of the book, because it's very, very pertinent to the fact that judgment is coming to the world. And, you know, why is a different, longer discussion, and we can get into that, but the point is that the things that are going on in the world today are mirroring Midnight Strikes, and again, it's not because I'm so smart, it's not because Steve is so smart. It's a warning. It's a warning from God himself about those things that are coming.
Okay. All right, Daniel, let me get a couple of questions in from our viewers here. This is from Doreen. It says, what do you think about Comet Atlas, and when will it hit the Earth? Maybe that was the comet we're talking about.
That's the comet that I was talking about, Atlas. Doreen, I don't know if it is going to hit the Earth or not, but as of yesterday, it was breaking up, so we'll see. And then they pulled Greenland today. I don't know. It's too close to the truth. Only time will tell.
Okay.
This is not. So let me just rest some fears, though. The jig is not up today. Okay, this is not it. Okay, the pandemic is not going to wipe out mankind. Atlas, even if it hits, is not going to wipe out mankind. This is not the end. Midnight is striking, but there is time between now and the end to repent. That's the bad word that I was going to use. Mm-hmm. Repent. That's the idea. When it comes to judgment, this is why God judges people, to get them to repent, right? So we are seeing these things transpire on Earth because time is almost up, and that's the reason for the name of the book.
All right. This is from Australian Ben. Short of a global pandemic, real or fake, how else could the New World Order implement the lockdown of society and the introduction of a digital currency? And do you think all these things are related?
Have you read my book, then? Because that's all in the book. That's crazy. Absolutely. You know, the funny thing is, I read yesterday, and Ben could correct me, but there were like 50 deaths in all of Australia. And they are locked down tighter than we are. So, yeah, it is global governance. It is a means to do what they couldn't do. Look, if they declared martial law tomorrow, right, for whatever reason, the Republicans have done this, or the Democrats have done this. So there's going to be, vast social unrest. So we got a lot of people would have a fit. But but you scare them to death with the pandemic, mm-hmm. people are just going to go in lockstep with whatever they say because people mm-hmm. want to get sick. Again, it's a real thing. People are dying. Mm-hmm. People are getting sick. Mm-hmm. However, it is a means to an end. They are trying to do exactly what Ben is saying. Now, the interesting thing is what he just said there about a global digital currency. Excuse me. You know, there's this funny thing in the Bible, Daniel. It's called the mark of the beast. Right? People have made all kinds of comparisons. How does this happen? The mark of the beast. A mark on your forehead or your hand. No, I'm not going to take that. They're not going to take me alive, right? You have a lot of Christians saying that kind of thing. However, you know, an interesting thing came out as I was writing this book that the German currency was once called the mark, right? And so as I began, because I talk about digital currencies within the book, and there's no way to institute the mark of the beast unless you have a digital currency because you have control. Again, that's the point. The point is control. So Ben mm-hmm. is again right in this issue. Now, the German currency was once called the mark. Facebook has come out with their own digital currency, and there were a lot of people that were on that bandwagon. And actually, Steve Forbes wrote an open letter to Zuckerberg, and he suggested that he change the name of their currency, a digital currency, which is called Libra, to the mark.
Whoa.
Because the mark was not taken anymore because the Germans don't have any more. They use the euro. So the point is that I think Ben has his facts right. I think this is exactly what's going on.
All right, let's get to another question for you. If the coronavirus started in Wuhan, how did it fail to destroy Beijing and Shanghai with their close proximity to ground zero? Man, it seems to me they would be affected because we are suspecting that it was released, but you think it was accidentally released and this isn't this. Now I'm going to inject my conspiracy right here. China's overpopulated. Couldn't it be that they don't care how many people they kill their own? I even in my ranting points, there's an article out there. People are saying that China is putting coronavirus people that are still alive in body bags and burning them. Then that's the way Chinese do. So they wouldn't have any problem at all, really, just releasing that on their own population to make it look like they're all innocent and everything. You know, because look, their people got killed too, but they don't mind if they lose a couple hundred million because they have way too many anyway.
Well, you actually raise up two very good points. And first of all, it's the attitude of the Chinese government. They are totalitarian. They're not just communist. They're totalitarian. It's like, it is the worst of the worst of the world, right? This is who they are. If you don't believe that, all you have to do is to look at the last three regimes before the social revolution that occurred in China, the cultural revolution that occurred in China. The three regimes before that, I don't know, they all found the same. That's not racist. I don't mean it. But they all found the same. The Ming, whatever. The last three dynasties that were in charge killed over 60 million people. That was before the atom bomb in China. They have no problem killing their own people. The other point that you raise is very, very important. China, so we're going to talk a little bit, I hope, about the food shortages that we are facing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, China is in the midst of a huge food shortage. They have 1 billion people. How many of those people are starving? Daniel, mm-hmm. starving people get angry. Angry mm-hmm. people want to overthrow the governments, right? So if they're going to, you know, nip this in the bud, wouldn't it make sense that they would start killing off people if they don't mm-hmm. care to kill off people?
Right.
That's exactly what's happening.
Right. Decrease the surplus population.
What? I'm sorry?
Was it a Christmas story with Scrooge? And he said, we got to decrease the surplus population?
Well, yeah. I mean the elites, and it's not just China, but, it's, you know, the elites in general, they call us useless eaters, right?
Mm-hmm.
They think that we serve no function but to indulge ourselves, I suppose. But as far as China goes and why it hadn't spread, it did in fact spread to Beijing, and it did spread to other places in China, but they did go in there and they locked it down. And if I guess you can imagine if you know anything about explosives, you can have a a shape charge, if you will. Mm-hmm. A shape charge is one that explodes further out in one direction than it does towards you, right? So if you think about the propagation of this virus as something like a shape charge, their intent was always to infect the world. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, they did get some people infected in Beijing. They put the clamps down as far as the borders go, but they let people go to, they didn't say this, but there were people that went to Hong Kong, and from Hong Kong they mm-hmm. came to America, and other people got out. So I think it was intentional. Now, you see, this is the interesting thing, right? Because China is so totalitarian. They have a lot of control. Somebody asked me the other day. I was on a radio show, as a matter of fact, and they said, you know, we're much more capable of dealing with it here in the United States than they would be in China, so mm-hmm. it shouldn't be as much of a problem as it was then. I said, well, I don't think that's true. In fact, I think the opposite is true, because they're communists, right? So if they tell you to have a temperature check, or wear your mask, or wear gloves, or take these precautions, you don't have any choice, because it's a communist country. If they pick you up off the street, and there were several videos that went out that actually showed people being mm-hmm. gathered off the street because they had a fever, they were infected, and taken away in boxes to wherever they took them, camps or whatever. That's not going to fly here in the United States. Mm-hmm. I just told you that. You have people now that go, oh, it's a fake. It's not a real virus. Mm-hmm. No, it's real. Mm-hmm. Try to get people to, mm-hmm. you know, do what needs to be done in order to get rid of it. I don't like the controls either. In fact, you know, they've put a crimp in my style. I can't get haircut. I'm supposed to be on, you know, the True Legends conference as a speaker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Our state's locked down. I can't leave, right? Mm. I can't. They were going to make it a, what do you call it, a...
virtual?
A stream event. Mm. And it's still going on, by the way, True Legends Conference. You need to see it, because it's going to be awesome. But it's a streaming event now. I can't even get to a studio in order to do a film. So I can't participate.
Well, that's the irony of this thing. There's a guy who was paddle boating out in the Atlantic Ocean. And when he came back to shore, he got arrested. And there was nobody within a mile of him. I mean, this is kind of ridiculous here.
Well, I read an article where this couple, they were from South Africa, and South Africa locked down their country as well. So this couple had just got married, and they were on a tropical island in the Maldives, I think mm-hmm. it was. But they couldn't get back to their country, and on top of that, everybody else from the resort left. But because their law, where this resort is, says that the resort has to be fully staffed, they had all of this staff waiting on them hand and foot. You know, they were concerned that they were going to go bankrupt because of the cost of things, like $700 a night. But they are still on their honeymoon. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. Being on their honeymoon.
Daniel, somebody just sent me this. They said Comet Atlas is also called C-2019 or CO-19, similar, of course, to COVID-19. Coincidence?
That is very interesting. That is very interesting. I didn't know that. I don't believe in coincidences. Mm. You know, call me super spiritual or whatever. I mean, is that a purpose? You know, this is the thing about the elites, right? They will tell you what they are going to do, and then they will do it. Mm-hmm. Daring you to stop them, daring you. They're egotistical with what they do.
Okay, so, now see, Daniel, that's something I've said for a long time. There seems to be some kind of unwritten celestial law that before some cataclysmic event happens, humans have to be told about it. For instance, 9/11 is one of them. Before, you know, there was a rap artist had a picture of the Twin Towers with a detonator in his hand before. There was the Simpsons before. There's various things that were before. That's just one, but it almost seems as if there's some kind of thing or order to the universe that requires them to notify us before they do it. So I'm glad you mentioned that.
Well, I don't think it's always people, but I think, for one, the elites do that just because they're egotistical. It's the way they are. Mm-hmm. For another, though, I think God uses instances to warn us, even if they're not Christians doing the warning. I think this point is to prepare us for what is to come, and get us to, again, to repent. So So, you know, I think it does happen. I think we have had warnings. It's interesting about this comet, CO19.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hey. Hey, you know what? We're bringing something to the table, too. The viewers, we're bringing something to the table, too. Okay. All right. Got another question. It says, what about this is from Paul Cici, previous guest. Is there an aerosol spraying program, a.k.a. chemtrails, with viruses on the heavy metals?
There is absolutely a chemtrail program. It's called Geoengineering. And Secretary of State Cohen, Defense Cohen, came out just 5 or 6 years ago and acknowledged it publicly.
We're going further. Is there viruses attached to it?
Well, okay. So let's get into some other conspiracy stuff because I think this really does apply. In answer to that question, I'm going to take the long way around, but you're going to see where I'm going here. Have you ever heard of the Deagle Report? The Deagle Report.
Yeah. Deagle Report is kind of dated, but yeah, I remember back in the day. Is it recent and we've got something going on now?
Well, the Deagle Report is a think tank, and they are always crunching the numbers. They get their information from government sources themselves, the reports that the government puts out and other insider reports and that sort of thing, and they come out and they produce various things. Now, they do stuff like Gain Defense Weekly stuff.
Okay.
They give numbers on all kinds of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, right, the Deagle Report came out a few years ago, and they said, oh, well, government figures show, now guys, get this, government figures show that the population of the United States by the year 2025 will be reduced by 226 million people.
Hmm.
226. Now, they've taken a lot of flack over the years, but they stand by their report. They don't have an agenda. They're just crunching the numbers and presenting them as they are.
Mm-hmm.
So, the larger question to your viewers' question about are there viruses in there? There is an overall, I believe, depopulation agenda in the world today by those very globalists or by those elites. One of the interesting things, and I keep talking about him, but again, he's a fascinating guy, a friend of mine, Steve Quayle. He wrote a book, and in that book, I think it was in Terminator or something, he wrote a book, and in that book, he talked about how he listed all these different things on this one section about all these well-known names being caught in the act of saying they need to reduce the population by X amount
mm-hmm.
of people. Mm-hmm. Bill Gates, Henry Kissinger, all these big names, these names that you would know, these common names, and other people, celebrities, and stuff. So there is a depopulation agenda. Some of that is to, you know, save the earth, or whatever the case may be. Other parts of it is we can't feed everybody, so there's always this excuse. But the point is they want to kill off a bunch of people.
Right.
Now, there is also a lot of talk, and I've seen some of the figures myself, some of the data myself, that vaccinations are, in fact, the way that they are doing that. And there are reports out there that sometimes these vaccinations aren't even tested, but they're let to go to market. Part of that is greed by, you know, making money. The other part of that is they don't really care because they do have a depopulation agenda.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what you're seeing with geoengineering, I actually did an interesting study, and I put it in one of my books way back when, maybe 8 or 9 years ago, where they actually, but my books are fiction, so nobody paid attention, right? They actually did an analysis on chemtrails, and they found not only viruses, but they found human blood in the chemtrails itself.
Whoa.
So there's all kinds of weird, there's aluminum in them, there's barium in them, there's all kinds of weird stuff in them. Bill Gates, just back in 2016, 2015, maybe further back than that, I don't know, said he wanted to begin to spray, I get this, sulfur dioxide in the atmosphere, geoengineering.
What a nutmeg.
wait a minute. Daniel, can you breathe sulfur dioxide? Does that work for you?
If I was the devil, I probably could.
Why would they want to do such a thing? Well, again, I think your listener's right. I think they have a depopulation agenda. And yes, my information says that they do have viruses in them.
Well, let me ask you this here. Quite coincidentally, this virus has, as we're all quarantined, it fits every single facet of the Green New Deal. They wanted to stop planes. Now meat packers are stopping production because of it. People aren't driving cars. There's less traffic. Every part of the new Green Deal, this is like the bomb for them. Now, it seems to me this works really well for them to roll out their agenda. Perhaps they paid for it? I don't know. What do you think? Or coincidence?
No, I don't think it's a coincidence. Again, I think it's part of the globalist agenda. It also fits in perfectly with Agenda 21. I read an article just a couple days ago, that said that the quiet Earth is actually coming back to life. And so you're seeing a lot of this propaganda out there about how humans have been bad for the Earth. So, but you raise a good point in that what we need to look at, because this is not going to last forever, okay? We know the life expectancy, in fact, it's longer than what they say. It takes something like 26 days of an incubation period of the virus for people to know that they have it or not. But sooner or later, it is going to burn itself out. Now, that's not to say that it won't be around after that, because I think, the Surgeon General said that it could be seasonal, right? That people would need to get vaccinations for it on a regular basis, and that it could affect us for the rest of our lives, right? So we've already been prepped for these things, but the point is that what I think is going to happen when this thing finally calms down, it's not going to be weeks, folks, I'm sorry, it's going to be months. It's going to, now hear me, it is going to be months before things get back to semi-normal, and they will never go back to the way that they were.
Let me ask you something. Are you going to, when it's all over, are you going to shake hands?
Absolutely. I'm not fearful. I mean, I'm not stupid either. If I had a mask, and you can't find them around here, but if I had one, I'd wear one. My wife made me a mask, and I wear it out in public, okay? I'm not dumb. But at the same time,
all right.
The idea that we can't shake hands, and can't live our lives. And,
Man, I don't want to live in a bubble, you know? You know, every time I get on the highway, I take a chance, right? And if I go on a highway with a motorcycle, I take a greater chance. I say, hey, let people take the chances they want to. You know, otherwise, what are we even living for? All right, another question says, if the nation states are just pawns in the game, it stands to reason that each one would have different roles to play, the good guys, the bad guys, the abandoned. Who is steering all these countries?
Oh, this is an excellent question. You have an astute audience, I'm telling you. Right up my conspiracy thinking mind. Okay, so in Midnight Strikes, one of the things I talk about, this is crazy, right? I always say that I'm apolitical, right? I can argue with either side. They drive me crazy, right? I do like some of the things that Trump does. I can't argue with that. At one time I was a Republican. He ran for office years ago, right? So I like some of the things that Trump does, but I can't stand listening to him. He drives me crazy. You don't have to congratulate yourself that many times. You just don't, right? So he drives me crazy, but there are things that I agree with him. He is far better than who would have gotten in before, or Hillary Clinton or Joe Biden or everybody, right? He's better than Obama. I get it, okay? They have their issues. He has his issues. But one of the things that I always say is that the left wing and the right wing are two wings of the same bird. They all have the same agenda. And this is the thing. Our founding fathers, I don't know if it was Madison or Jefferson, but one of them warned about a two-party system because of this very same thing. One day, they assumed in the future that those two opposite sides would come together and rule the country, and that's exactly what's happening. But there's a dark, if I can use it this way, a dark shadow cabal, a shadow government. We've been hearing them referred to as the deep state of late. But there are these globalists that are running the country behind the scenes, but not only our country, other countries in the world. So you have countries pitted against themselves for the sake of global theater, right? China's the bad guy, Russia's the bad guy, whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. Australia's a good guy because they're our partners. The UK's the good guys because they're our partners. But look, there's a globalist cabal that is running the world. And if you don't believe me, go back to the 1962 speech by JFK, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, that many people say got him killed, when he talked about a dark globalist cabal that ran the world behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And before him, Eisenhower warned, we know about the, what do you call it, the, what am I trying to say, the weapons, the military-industrial complex he talked about. Pretty much the same speech, and it was a contemporary of Kennedy that actually said the same kind of thing. He was a senator, and he warned about the same kind of thing. So we have been warned that there was somebody behind the scenes pulling the strings for their own purposes, mm-hmm. for their own agenda. And so what you're seeing is that this cabal, since the 60s, has been left unchecked. They're running wild, and they are controlling the world, right? If you don't believe me, the crazy thing is Donald Trump just did a speech two or three days ago, and it was a, I don't even remember what the speech was about, but it had to do something about defense, right? Mm-hmm. And so on the screen behind them was the presidential seal. The presidential seal. It's you know, the presidential seal is a big deal, right?
Right.
They control that thing. They guard it very carefully.
Right, right.
On the presidential seal, there was a picture of a two-headed eagle. A two-headed eagle. When I asked about it later, Donald Trump said, well, I didn't know about that. I didn't even notice that. I didn't know anything about it. Are they telling us something? I think they were absolutely telling us something.
Yeah, let me ask something about trying to tell us something. Speculation is that that Trump is trying to control the Fed or break it down, take it away from the private people. There's a lot of conspiracy theories out there. There's a video of Trump looking at Dr. Fauci, and if you pay attention to Trump, you know he has certain looks. But he was looking at Fauci like, I know what you're up to, and I'm going to expose you. I mean, is it possible that Trump has to play this game because white hats in the government are telling him what's really going on? So, but he's got to play a game somehow. But he's onto this, and then this may be one of the reasons he's trying to get us out before or around May, and everybody else is saying months later.
You know, Daniel, I want to believe that. I really, really want to believe that. But I have a couple comments. First of all, Trump is no saint. And I think, I already told you, I got issues with him.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that Trump came from gambling and real estate. He is a shark, right? You don't get to play in those waters unless you're a shark. Trump is a shark. The spike is good guy image, right?
Okay.
Is who he is. Mm-hmm. Now, the other thing is that you don't get to play in that sandbox, meaning leadership of a country, unless you're part of the club. If you look back into political history, you can see Trump, the Clintons, and everybody else, you know, elbowing with each other.
Mm-hmm.
I think Trump was appointed for this time to do what he's doing.
I think those earlier pictures of him with those other politicians was him working the game on them to get what he wanted, and he's pretty damn good at it. Let's get to another question. Oh, this is because we've mentioned Steve Quayle. In fact, his name is in the title of your book. Can you tell us what Jesus said to him?
Well, you know, well, interestingly enough, there are 38 things that Steve recalled that he told me about, and I put them in the book verbatim. Now, for instance, the first thing in the book, the title of the first chapter is The Time of the End, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what I do is I talk about this crazy stuff. I mean, it's crazy stuff. I wrote it. I think it's crazy. But did you know that the World Wide Web came out of CERN? that it was developed in at CERN. Did you know that?
I thought I heard something about it and something about covering the Earth or something with it.
Yeah, well, it came out of CERN, and I have written extensively about CERN. It's not necessarily altruistic. I'm a science guy. I like technology, and I think it's fascinating what they were doing. What they are doing now are other things. It's a very dark thing. But The point is that the World Wide Web originated out of CERN. And so I make this case in the first chapter about how the World Wide Web is the infrastructure or the backbone by which they would institute a surveillance state. And then in the second chapter, I go into how the Chinese social credit system was coming to the United States. Now, in answer to your viewer's question, the first thing that I relate in the book about what Steve Quayle saw, number one, was that the Chinese social credit system was coming to the United States. Now, that's crazy, Daniel. I mean, that is absolutely crazy. This is the United States. We're free. Well, one of the crazy things is that the Chinese, I just told you about how they keep track of their own people with the cell phones. The Surgeon General and even the Governor of New York suggested that we keep track of these people with their cell phones. And they actually said we have Bluetooth wristbands that they could wear so we know where they are going and what they are doing. It is already happening. So that's the first thing that Steve Quayle, well, this wasn't the first thing that he saw, but the first thing that relates to what he saw in the book. And there are tons of other things in Midnight Strikes, and there's just too many to go into right now. But the point is that as I ran these things, it was those three things that I said, wait a minute, you know, what's going on here? As I began to research them and dig into them, I began to branch out and find other things of importance. Here's the crazy thing, okay? One of the things that Steve saw is that toward the end of the age, right, toward the end of time, people would begin to, he said that the Lord told him that when cannibalism reaches the headlines, we are in tribulation. When you see cannibalism in the headlines, you will know that we're in tribulation. And it doesn't take, you know, genius to know that there are probably every other week there's a story about cannibalism. And I think it was Katy Perry that was just probably a year and a half ago came out and said, well, human flesh is the best kind of meat, and that, you know, people, you know, it's healthy for you that you can't get regular meats. And that kind of, and you know, I asked Steve, I said, was she just messing around, or was that just, you know, propaganda so that she could, you know, become famous or whatever? He said, no, they really believe that. And if you believe what, who's the guy that wrote, he's the guy, Jim Carrey. Mm-hmm. Jim Carrey has said that there was cannibalism in Hollywood, that they ate babies. Mm-hmm. And Mel Gibson. Mm-hmm. Is also,
well, isn't that spirit cooking cannibalism?
I don't know if it's spirit cooking, but...
seems to me they have a body laying there, and they all maybe they act like they're eating humans or not. But yeah, there is a lot of cannibalism in there, so that's kind of another point to Steve Quayle's credit.
Yeah, well, and there are several things in there that he says. And as I begin to, you know, another thing that he didn't actually say this, but one of the things that my research actually came out, did you know, there's a title in here, a title of a chapter called Rage and Madness. And I began to talk about all the crazy things in the world that are going on. People just, if you recall, before the coronavirus broke out, there were riots in the streets everywhere. I mean, I listed some of these riots in the book. It was crazy. I mean, on virtually every continent, there were people rioting the streets. Most of the time, it was young people that were rioting. And they rioted for all kinds of reasons. They rioted because of unemployment. They rioted because of corrupt governments. They rioted because, I don't know, in New York, right, there was these bikers taunting the police, like a circle of bikers, just to taunt them because they hate authority, whatever the case may be. But the interesting thing is, as I began to research all the crazy things that are happening, I discovered that, now see, this is crazy stuff. I admit it's crazy. Did you know that everything on Earth runs by a frequency, and I'm going to sound like a New Ager. We all operate on harmonics, all right? There's a natural clock to our brain and to our body. There's a natural clock for the atmosphere. There's a natural clock to the Earth, and it's all the same. It's always been the same.
Yeah. Now, I'm high frequency myself.
I've heard that said about you. But it has always been, I'm going to get this wrong, 9.67, I think, or 9.68. That's what it's always been. Well, somebody did some research, and they found that the frequency of the world about 3 or 4 years ago had changed. It went from 9.67 or whatever it was to something like 12 point something and as high as 16 point something. And the Russians even clocked it as high as 30 point something megahertz. So that, why am I bringing this up? Because that's the kind of thing that makes people crazy. When the clock in your brain goes awry, you start going nuts. And you're seeing that manifest in the world, you know, all over the place. And there are reasons for that. The I think there's seismic and volcanic activity that's going on right now that, again, to use this word, unprecedented. And the piezoelectricity, electro signature from the Earth bounces off the magnetosphere. These are scientific terms, and they change the clock, and I think that's part of it. But there's something else going on as well, and I can't really put my finger on it. All I can point to is the evidence that says, hey, something is different, and so you see people going crazy.
Okay, all right. Okay, let's get let me get another question in here. It says, if the mark of the beast is forced vaccination and a nano chip, where does the average family go to get away from it or to live without it?
Well, I actually address the mark of the beast in the book itself because it's important. It's a book on end times, and we're talking about end time stuff. This is really, really important. And I what I do is I try to look at all the different things that could be the mark of the beast. And I postulate, well, wait a minute, what if the mark of the beast is not a thing that you take, but something you already have? Because one of the things in the social credit system that makes it so effective is biometrics. They are able to scan everybody in the country, in China, in 1 second. They can do that. And they can pull you out of a crowd of hundreds of thousands of people just by your mannerisms, your face, with facial recognition, by how you hold the phone, by how you talk.
And it doesn't matter if you have your phone off either.
That's right, if you have your phone off. So what if the mark of the beast is simply, you know, how they identify you? And your identity gets dumped in a big database. Now, it may or may not be that. The only saving grace to that is that you have to voluntarily take the mark of the beast because the word says that you won't be able to buy or sell. And those people that that have taken the mark of the beast at the end of Revelation says that they're judged. So God is a fair God. He's not going to let you get judged unless you willingly take the mark. So therefore, it's something you have to. So it may be that just by participating in the system that you're taking that mark without even knowing it. And if you don't believe me, there was an interesting article that I put in the book, and I think it was out of Australia, where they actually are using this. They, in order to get social welfare, they have to scan, they scan your face. In the book, I postulate that, well, is this what happens? That in order to participate in the system of giveaway, that they scan your face, they dump you in a big database, and now you're part of the system. I don't know exactly what the mark of the beast is. If it's a data, you know, years ago, we talked about RFID chips underneath your skin or computer chips. Now, you know, they can even put a little itty bitty chip in you that, and people are doing it. Sweden, as a matter of fact, I think it's Sweden. There are people lining up to put chips underneath their hands in order to open up the doors and stuff like that.
Well, Daniel, speaking of phones and that, and conspiracies, some suggest that in Wuhan, what actually happened was they turned on 5G. So I just saw a question come in. Is 5G and the virus connected?
Well, I think I don't know if it's, I take that back. It is connected in the sense that 5G is a terrible thing. I mean, we all like fast internet. We all like fast phones. I want to hit my button and get what I want. But the fact is that 5G breaks down our DNA. It breaks down our DNA. It kills us, right? What it will do is it will break down the DNA in your body that has been used to defend you against sickness, right? So they release the virus, they turn on 5G, now your body has less ability to defend itself against the virus. So people die and they get sick and that kind of thing. Are they connected? Well, I think it's all part. Here's the thing. I think there's so many working parts to this that we can't, we can only touch on some of them, but we don't even understand the evilness of what they're doing. And the end goal, so you understand, it is a one-world government. It is, the mark of the beast. This is where we are going. This is what I mean. If you look at the facts on the ground, it's not strictly a religious conversation. It is a conversation about what is, right? These are the things that are happening. You know, it drives me crazy when people, what we'll do, we'll make up our own narrative, right? We'll say, I don't like this. I'm going to get some people looking at it, but I don't mean to. It's just
As the Chinese, as we discussed, the Chinese don't seem to mind sacrificing their own people to accomplish a purpose. I would say, in a political sense, there are factions in this country that wouldn't mind sacrificing people's jobs and livelihood to achieve a political purpose as well. These lines are beginning to cross, and the sides are kind of lining up of who's for things and who's against things. For instance, when there was this emergency funding bill trying to come through, the Democrats wanted to tack in money for the Kennedy Center for Performing Arts, which had nothing to do with it, and they wanted gender quotas and all kinds of airline fuel regulations. It didn't seem like they didn't have the concern of the American people in mind. It looked like more of an opportunity to get that Green Deal in there, which tells me that they don't mind sacrificing people to accomplish their agenda either. It's kind of working out. And then we have, going back, and I'm going a little political here, sorry about that, but Joe Biden did fly to China, and his son went with him, and he came out with a deal worth $1.5 billion, and his only claim to fame is, Joe Biden's son is, Hunter, is that he got kicked out of the Navy because he's a druggie, and so somehow he got $1.5 billion deal out of there. So he's not going to be the one standing up against China. So it seems to me, in alignments of the world, China is going to want Biden in there for sure. So that means they're going to have to come in and manipulate something, some part of the electorate. And I don't know how that is done, but it could have to do with mail-in ballots. It could be that we have a tech system where people use their phones and they hack it, and then they pick who they want, you know. And so, I mean, we're up against a lot of different forces. And, Daniel, so my question is, how does the average person begin to battle back to keep the country, say, at least some semblance of normalcy and freedom?
Well, there is a real thing that's called normalcy bias. You ever heard of normalcy bias?
No, hit me with it.
Look it up on Wikipedia. Normalcy bias is the idea that something has never happened, so therefore it can never happen. And people, because of their preconceived ideas and their own personal history, they have a hard time understanding that things have changed, and they see the change coming too late, it makes them ill-prepared to deal with disaster and that kind of thing. You know, you hear people, when it comes to Christian stuff, as an example, people say, there have been earthquakes for thousands of years. It's never happened, right? They come and they go. Or, you know, there's been wars, rumors of wars, thousands of years. So there's this idea that because it's never happened, it will never happen. Until it does. And then when it does, it's a bad thing.
Until it does.
The idea that we can go back to the way we were. And this, guys, look, I'm sorry. I don't mean to be a storm cloud.
Debbie Downer.
What's that?
A Debbie Downer.
I don't mean to be that. But I am into reality. And I believe in talking about what's real, what's the truth. The truth is, the country that we knew is gone.
Oh, hell. That's depressing.
It'll never be the same. Now, where do we go from here? How do we live in a country where our rights have been taken, and they have been taken? If you think for one second that you can go back to some of the things that you were doing before this, you never. No, this is the whole point of starting this, the way they started it. We have family. We have loved ones. There are these moments that we can cherish. We hang on to those things. It's how you manage, right? You hang on to those things that are important to you. And you find out that the things that you thought were important aren't that important. The one that your family, the people you love, your kids, your husbands, your wives, the kindness that you can show to one another, you hang on to those things. Most of all, the Lord, that's what you hang on to. You know, there's a verse, and again, I don't mean to sound religious, but it's in the Bible, that it says that Jesus can give us peace that surpasses all understanding. So regardless of the craziness that we are walking into, the tribulation, and yes, it is tribulation, he can give us peace in the middle of it. I just, you know, the beginning of the book, I write a quote, a dedication, to my grandson, Lucas, and it says, to my grandson, Lucas, I hope I'm wrong. Because, look, I want him to grow up in a world that looks like the world I grew up. But, Daniel, you and I both know, you probably about my age, you know, we can't ride our bikes. Kids today can't ride their bikes on the street like we did. I mean, I ran wild in the 60s. I couldn't do that now. Kids can't do that. Now you get nabbed off the street. Mm-hmm. So the point is that life is different. It's changed, right? So how do we keep, you know, some sense of sanity in this crazy world? We stand up for those things that we know to be right. Mm-hmm. Just because I think that, you know, Trump is irritated doesn't mean that I'm going to turn around and vote for Biden. Right? It's not going to happen.
Are you saying I'll never be able to go to Applebee's again?
Wouldn't that be a downer? That would be a downer. But this is my point. Right? There's going to be a lot of restaurants that don't open up. Goldman Sachs came out, and, you know, you don't know this about me, but before I started writing years ago, I was a financial guy, right? So I know economics and I know the financial world pretty well, right? Goldman Sachs came out just, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I think they actually revised that number up. But they said that the economy this year will shrink by 27%. 27%! Never happened. There are going to be, because I told you, it's going to be months. It's not going to be weeks. It's going to be days. It's going to be months before they open stuff back up. When that stuff opens back up, there will be businesses that will go bankrupt. I just read an article today that said that businesses are slated for the highest bankruptcy rates ever. So there will be businesses, because they can't, little mom and pop shop, they can't put up with being closed for months. It's not going to happen. They won't be able. JCPenney is an example. JCPenney was teetering on the edge already. Do you really think that they're gonna open back up after, you know, being closed like 4 or 5 months?
Well, which by the way, I heard that China is lining up to buy businesses in England like a fire sale. So, you know, that and that what that means is cheap. And so that does sound like that is part of a longer plan that they have.
Well, speaking about that longer plan and being a Debbie Downer, thank you for that title. I appreciate that. So. But speaking about that, now, people have always said that, you know, China, we're not going to have a war with China. It's never going to happen. They need us to buy their crap. Like, we're going to buy their stuff. Well, look, if America is bankrupt, right, if we have no money and people are not working to buy their stuff, do they need us anymore? Think about it. We, you know, we are at odds with China when it comes to Taiwan, when it comes to Korea, when it comes to a lot of different places, they are desiring world domination. Make no mistake, that is exactly what they want. Mm-hmm. So if that's the case, and we no longer offer them anything, do you really think that they will be less likely to go to war with us? No, I think we're looking at a war with China on the near horizon. And because of that, because they're to the point now, if you look at South China Sea, they banged a bunch of artificial islands out there. You know, we are just the fly in the ointment for them. If we lose our reserve status, and we will, and our dollar goes into hyperinflation, and it will, then you're looking at an America that will be so distracted by their own problems that they won't see a war coming. You know, you mentioned something that I need to go back here and I need to discuss. You know, you said that that Trump wanted to get the Fed part of the government. I think that's true, but it's not exactly the way that's being presented. What I think the Federal Reserve has never been, as you know, part of the federal government.
Right.
Just federal in name. It's not. Mm-hmm. It is a banking cabal. They are the richest men in the world, and their desire is not money. Their desire is power. So what I think, by them printing all of this money, and they don't print money, they just make digits, but by them lending, because that's exactly what they do, they are lending money to the United States so that they can get interest back. Now, they're a bank. Why in the world would they say, okay, we'll be part of the U.S. government. We'll do that. No, we need them. We are dependent on them. So what I think is happening, this is what I think, my conspiratorial mind, what I think is happening is what they couldn't do before, they are doing now. With all the money they are printing, the United States is coming under the auspice of the Federal Reserve and not the other way around.
Mm.
That's a very dangerous thing. We talk about a shadow cabal. They are the ultimate shadow cabal. And they could very well be behind everything that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But as I said, this is a setup. It is the end game, and that's what we need to understand.
Mm. Okay, I don't know whether I should just end it all now or what. What's on the other side of midnight? Doesn't dawn come next? A new dawn?
The dawn does come. I mentioned the bad word that I used already. I'm going to use it again. You know.
Oh, what is it? I missed it.
It's repentance.
Oh, okay. Right? I thought you said a bad word. Okay, that's a good word.
God gives us the opportunity to repent. Jesus said that my sheep know my voice and another they will not follow. He also talked about how he had, in his father's mansion, there were many rooms and that we would be there with him. He talks about here on the earth, peace that surpasses all understanding. He talks about us being salt and light during this time. So here's the thing that we need to wrap our brains around is that we are moving from a worldly paradigm to an end times paradigm, a biblical paradigm. There are going to be some people, a lot of people, the majority of people, that will resist that. Because along with that, we have to repent. We have to serve God. We have to walk with Him. We have to read His Word. There are things it's not like I had to try to stop doing. I just stopped doing things. But when I became Christian, the Word says that He makes us new creations. He changes us. But you have to want those things, right? It's not like, I can just do some of them. We have people playing church all the time. You know, your church is filled up with people that wear a badge and say, I'm a Christian. But they have no walk. They have no relationship. And that's the key. When it comes to dealing with life in this new paradigm, this new biblical paradigm, it is understanding that the only way that I'm going to make it through this is with Jesus, honestly. And I didn't write Midnight Strikes. In fact, at the beginning, I say it's not meant to be a religious book, per se, even though it kind of sounds like it. It's meant to be a factual book. But all of those facts should point you to the understanding that you need Jesus. That's the point. The point is that history is something that God lives outside of. He lives outside of time and space, and He's already seen the beginning from the end. He knows what we are going to walk into and what we are walking through. He is there to help us walk through those things if we are willing. But in order to be willing, you have to repent. You have to turn. That's what repentance means. It means to turn around, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to turn your life around. Mm-hmm. You have to cry out to Him. It's not so hard. I mean, it really isn't.
It isn't
the fact that I got to give up the things that my own will. I got to give up my own ideas, my own desires, mm-hmm. but out of the other side, he gives you so much more. You know, people, they look at all the things that are coming upon the earth, Daniel, and they go, how am I going to deal with this stuff? I'm scared to death. The Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. Mm-hmm. We don't have to be scared. I told you, I'm not scared. I'm not stupid either, but I'm not scared. I'm not going to walk in the middle of a ward with full of coronavirus patients and not wear protective gear. But at the same time, I'm not going to worry about getting the virus and then mm-hmm. take precautions. I'm going to do what I need to do.
Now, do you wear a mask when you go to the store?
I am now, because the governor actually came down and said that we need to wear a mask, so people look at you kind of mm-hmm. crazy. Well, the crazy thing is you can't find a mask here. They are, they're all out. So people are making their own masks. I've made my own mask. And actually, my wife made me a mask.
Yeah. What state are you in again?
Kentucky.
Kentucky? Wait a minute, man. You guys is in my ranting points today. Because didn't the governor say that if anybody goes to church, they're going to get the cops to look at the license plate and then fine them or jail them?
Well, look, I might get jailed for saying this, but that guy's a communist.
Well, glad you could say it. I don't mind saying it.
He got elected early this year. Yeah. A lot of people think he stole the election. It's just me. I'm just saying this. I don't know that for a fact. But he's a liberal.
He's a nutbag.
And this is a really good point, because there are a lot of liberal governors that are just taking authority to themselves. Mm-hmm. And he's a perfect example. Well, now, it's true that Kentucky has less cases than anybody around. But who's coming to Kentucky? I mean, people aren't coming to Kentucky.
Aren't there still 8 states that haven't quarantined their people, and should people move to those states?
Well, I don't know if they let you in those states. One of the things that the governor did here is he blocked off the state in order to come here. Now, this is why I can't go to the conference, because in order to leave, when I come back, I'd have to be quarantined for 2 weeks. He's not letting anybody in. So,
hey, Daniel, didn't you do the video program for Steve Quayle at the last?
I did his PowerPoint. I'm doing his PowerPoint this year. By the way, his PowerPoint this year is going to blow your mind. I mean, it will blow your mind.
Well, I just want to say, man, you did a hell of a job on that last one. So if you done better, it's going to be even better. But yeah, it was just great. I just want to take time to tell you that I really appreciated that. I thought, man, those things look good. Those videos, the video presentation looks good. Here's a question from Paul Cici. He says, do you see any divine intervention in all this?
I see, you know, here's the crazy thing. David Wilkerson back in 1986 mm-hmm. prophesied. This is the crazy thing. This is why I said that, okay, you may not like the Bible, you may not like the idea of God, but you can't write him off because he's right most of the time. So David Wilkerson came out with a prophecy. Right all the time, I should say. David Wilkerson came out with a prophecy in 1986, and he specifically said that there was going to be a pandemic that would close the bars and and keep people at home, that people would have to walk through that and that they would repent, that there would be a revival that came out of it. Now, I'm paraphrasing, though. I just butchered the whole thing. But so he talked about this. You should look it up. He talked about this back in 1986. And that is exactly what we're seeing. So what I see happening out of this is that people will repent. When we are faced with our own mortality, when you're faced with problems, you see, you know, after 9/11, you mentioned 9/11, the churches were full. You know, after a while, people left the churches. But the point is that people repented. Now, we can't go to church, as you mentioned. You know, people get thrown in jail for going to church. So what you are seeing is this fellowship. And folks, I can't tell you enough how important this is. This ability to connect with God on a one-on-one basis. God never cared about what we looked like in church. He never cared about your 10-gallon hat or, you know, my nice suit or any of those things. He didn't care what we looked like in a crowd. Cared about our heart. He cared about us, right? So here's your opportunity in the middle of a pandemic when you are forced to stay home to get on your knees, to repent, and to talk to him, maybe for the first time, to really talk to him. Not with these and thous of the Old Testament, right, of the King James, mm-hmm. but with with a sincere heart and bare your heart to him. Because what else are you going to do? Sit there, watch TV, you're going to eat chocolate, you know, in Colorado smoking pot, or, you know, the people are going to liquor stores. Liquor stores are essential. So we let those open. You know, the crazy thing is, you can't go to Walmart in some states and buy seeds to plant in your garden, or you can't buy pants because you don't have any clothes, right? Because they're not considered essential. You can only buy essential things, right? Well, you know, this is one thing that you can do. You can sit back in your own home, mm-hmm. and you can, maybe for the first time ever, mm-hmm. fellowship with the God of the universe.
So is it possible that we will see somebody like Nancy Pelosi repent?
No. Not Nancy Pelosi. They're people.
I'm just saying, they're man. People. I mean, even in the midst, you know, the Bible says that in any times after all these plagues come upon the earth, it says, yet men still will not repent. And there seems to be, you know, when the Samaritan's Purse got attacked for having tents in Central Park to try to help people, I thought, here's some people attacking them that absolutely will not repent. And they even in these times, they still find hate in their heart to attack the Samaritan Purse trying to do something good. So I'm still seeing a lot of hate out there. People, they don't care how many jobs are lost or how long they got to stay inside. They just want to hate other people.
Well, you know, it's a funny thing. In Revelation, when you get down to the end, you know, and Yeshua, Jesus shows up, and he's obviously who he is. There have been all these judgments on the earth. The horses have ridden. And people see what people won't repent even then. They won't repent. Mm-hmm. People, there are people that will just be stiff-necked. Now, Nancy Pelosi is a different story, though. She might well be an alien. I don't know. Something like that. I'm just talking. I don't know. I don't see her repenting as an issue.
No, I was just thinking, man, you're informed. You are really informed. So it's good.
Joe Biden looks like something like that as well. Mm-hmm. I can't, I'm sorry, I just can't stomach them. I mean, look, Trump gets on my nerves, but I can at least put up with the Democrats. I can't deal with it all. I can't. Mm-hmm. I can't put up with it.
So are we in the Great Tribulation right now?
We have entered into the Great Tribulation. This is mm-hmm. important for people to understand. You know, people...
And is this supposed to last 3.5 years? What's the timetable?
No, see, this is what I was just going to say. There have been doctrines running around for years, right? The Bible, nowhere in the Bible does it say the Great Tribulation. It doesn't say that. That's doctrine, right?
Mm-hmm.
It says Great Tribulation. You will enter into Great Tribulation. And people come up with you know, calendars and schedules about based upon Daniel's numbers and all this other stuff. But my only advice is this, right? Walk. Use this time to repent. To talk to God, to enter into a relationship with Him, and walk. And all that other stuff will take care of itself.
Okay, so then, if that being the case, when Obama got elected, was that the beginning of sorrows? Because I know I was sorrowful when he got elected.
Me too.
So, I mean, doesn't the beginning of sorrows happen before the tribulation? I mean, wouldn't that mean we've already passed through that?
Well, I would hope so. That means that, you know, there's less time. So, I don't know.
This is rapid fire here. So is Daniel's seventh week named after you or me?
It's probably named after you, the guy in the white hat, probably.
Okay. So what's our hope here? We got bad things coming down the pike, Daniel. We got to leave the people with some hope.
The hope is Jesus, my friend. And honestly, audience, these are serious times, and I try to make light of them because if we. You know, if you focus on every, you know, the funny thing is when I wrote Midnight Strikes, I'd have to step away and repent myself. I'd have to talk to the Lord. I'd have to worship because the things in that book are heavy. They are factual. You want to find out what's going on now? You want to find out what's coming? Get the book, Midnight Strikes. But I had to step away because they are so heavy. And what I found in my moment with the Lord is peace. It's peace that surpasses all understanding. If you want hope, hope is in Jesus. You need Jesus. And I'm not talking some religious fanaticism. I'm talking about a personal relationship where you talk to him, his still small voice talks back to you, worshiping him in the middle of everything that's going on. And in the middle of all of that, he can tell you where to go, what to do to keep safe. He can provide for you when other people have not what they need. He can keep you from doing dumb things that we all do from time to time. And he can make you look like a genius, you know, when you make the right decision. Jesus and the Holy Spirit live inside of us are the thing that gives us the hope in this season. And if you ever, ever contemplated a relationship with him, now's the time to enact, to act on it, because we need him now more than ever.
Well, that's absolutely true, and that's very well said, Daniel Holdings. Now, let's talk about your book. How can people get that book?
DanielHoldings.com is my website. You can get it there. And, in fact, Daniel, what I will do, give me about 10 minutes after the show here, but I'll put a coupon on there. And the coupon, if you put in capital letters, OTT, and you order that book, DanielHoldings.com is the website. You order it from my website. Mm-hmm. You'll get 10% off.
Look at that.
Book. Wow. So your listeners can have that. Now, I'll leave that coupon out for a couple months at least so people can come back to it. Mm-hmm. You can also get it on Steve Quayle's website, but he's not going to give you 10%.
Mm-hmm. Or let me end with this last question here from Peter from Australia. He says, have you heard of the hip-hop song Pandemic by Dr. Creep? Released about 7 years ago, at the 1-minute, 7-second mark, it says, 2020 combined with coronavirus bodies stacking.
Is that right? No, I've never heard that.
I'm going to, wait a minute, I'm writing that down. Okay, it looks like it's called Pandemic by Dr. Creep.
Wow. That's one of those things where demons are whispering in people's ears, because demons know these. They know how they're going to influence people. These are demonic entities controlling people, releasing these viruses. So I'm not surprised that they told somebody this was going to happen.
Wow. I'm definitely going to be looking that up. All right. Well, Daniel Holdings, I appreciate you coming on the Edge broadcast, man. Can we have you back on again sometime?
Well, thank you, Daniel. It's good to be back with you. Thanks for having me put it up with you.
All right, man. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye. All right.